The Judgment Phase. This phase is the culmination of a messenger's preaching mission. By now, the believers have become discrete and distinct from the disbelievers and organized as a separate unit. It is in this phase that the messenger decides the fate of his nation. It is in reality the Almighty who undertakes this task, as pointed out before. It is evident from the Quran that in the judgment phase, the punishment of the disbelievers normally takes two forms, depending upon the situation that arises. If a messenger has very few companions and he has no place to migrate from his people and attain political power, then the messenger and his companions are sifted out from their nation by the Almighty and made to migrate to a safe place. Their nation is then destroyed through various natural calamities like earthquakes, typhoons, and cyclones. The Quran states, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاسِبًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ السَّيْحَةِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا. So each of them we seized for their crime. Of them, against some, we sent a violent tornado with showers of stones. Some were caught by a mighty blast. Some we sunk in the earth, and some we drowned in the waters. Surah number 29, verse 40. The Aad, nation of Hud, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Thamud, nation of Salih, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the nations of Noah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Lot, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Shu'aib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were destroyed through such natural disasters when they denied their respective messengers, as is mentioned in the various surahs of the Quran. In the case of Moses, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Israelites never denied him. The Pharaoh and his followers, however, did. Therefore, they were destroyed. The Prophet Jonah's people accepted faith and were saved from punishment. The Quran states, فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسَ لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزْيِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينٍ. So why was not there a single settlement which professed faith so that its faith should have profited it, except the people of Jonah? When they believed, we removed from them the penalty of ignominy in the life of the present and permitted them to enjoy their life for a while. Surah number 10, verse 98. In the second case, a messenger is able to win a fair amount of companions and is also able to migrate to a place where he is able to acquire the reins of political power through divine help. In this case, a messenger and his companions subdue their nation by force and execute them if they do not accept faith. The nation of a messenger is then given further respite, during which the messenger starts to purge and cleanse the people who accept faith and organizes them for a final onslaught upon the forces of evil. He also strengthens his hold and authority in the land. Once his companions are ready for an armed conflict, these addressees are given a final ultimatum and then attacked. The forces of a messenger are destined to triumph and humiliate his enemies. The punishment which in the previous case descended from the heavens, in this case, emanates from the swords of the believers. It was this situation which arose in the case of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His opponents were destroyed by the sword of the Muslim believers until at the conquest of Mecca, the remaining accepted faith. Details follow in the next section. Referring to this form of divine punishment, the Quran asserts, قَاتِلُوهُمْ يُعَذِّبُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ وَيُقْذِيهِمْ وَيَنْصُرْكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Fight them, and God will punish them with your hands and humiliate them and help you to victory over them. Surah number 9, verse 14. At another place, the Quran states, فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ. Believers, it is not you who slew them, it was in fact God who slew them. Surah number 8, verse 17. In other words, as pointed out earlier, it is the Almighty Himself who punishes the immediate and direct addressees of messengers if they deny their respective messengers. The messengers and their companions are no more than a means to carry out His divine plan. The punishment and humiliation of nations towards whom messengers were sent generally took place in two ways. Nations who subscribed to monotheism were spared if they accepted the supremacy of their respective messenger, while nations who subscribed to polytheism were destroyed. The latter fate is in accordance with the fact that polytheism is something that the Almighty never forgives. The Quran says, ان اللہ لا یغفر ان یشرک بہ و یغفر ما دون ذلک لمن یشاء ومن یشرک باللہ فقد افترا اثما مبینا. God never forgives those guilty of polytheism, though he may forgive other sins to whom he pleases. Those who commit polytheism devise a heinous sin. Surah number 4, verse 48. For similar reasons, in the Judaic law, perpetrators of polytheism were to be punished with death in this world. It is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 2 to 5. If a man or a woman living among you in one of the towns the Lord gives you is found doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God in violation of his covenant and contrary to my command has worshipped other gods, bowing down to them or to the sun or the moon or the stars of the sky, and this has been brought to your attention, then you must investigate it thoroughly. If it is true and it has been proved that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, take the man or woman who has done this evil deed to your city gate and stone that person to death. Consequently, the Israelites were told that they should put to death all the polytheist nations and not to spare them in any way. It is recorded in chapter 7, verses 1 to 5 of Deuteronomy. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. The Old Testament also mentions that there were certain nations that were to be spared if they were prepared to live a life of subjugation. In the light of the Quran, it can be adduced that such nations were those who did not subscribe to polytheism. They were not put to death and were given the option to live if they accepted the supremacy of the Mosaic law. It is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 10 to 15. When you march up to attack a city, make its people an offer of peace. If they accept and open their gates, all the people in it shall be subject to forced labor and shall work for you. If they refuse to make peace and they engage in battle, lay siege to that city. When the Lord your God delivers it into your hand, put to the sword all the men in it. As for the women and children, the livestock and everything else in the city, you may take these as plunder for yourselves. And you may use the plunder the Lord your God gives you from your enemies. This is how you are to treat all the cities that are at a distance from you and do not belong to the nations nearby. Consequently, the Israelites were not wiped out as a nation because, being the people of the book, they were basically adherents to monotheism. Their humiliation took the form of constant subjugation to the followers of Jesus, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till the day of judgment, as referred to by the following verse. إِسْقَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَىٰ إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ وَمُطَهِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَجَاعِلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Remember when God said, O Jesus, I will give death to you and raise you to myself and cleanse you from those who have denied. I will make those who follow you superior to those who reject faith till the day of resurrection. Surah number 3, verse 55. Here one might ask, why were the people of the book, in particular the Christians, regarded to be monotheists when they ascribed to Trinity, which apparently is a polytheistic doctrine? The answer to this question is that Christians are basically followers of monotheism. The Bible is very explicit about it. It is recorded in Mark chapter 12, verse 29. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Christians never admit to polytheism, though they are involved in certain polytheistic practices. A person becomes a polytheist when he openly admits that he is a polytheist. A person who claims to be a monotheist in spite of being involved in polytheistic practices cannot be regarded as a polytheist. The reason is that a person might be doing something wrong without realizing what he is doing. All Christians, whether of today or from the period of Jesus, never admit to polytheism. Trinity to them is in accordance with monotheism. Of course, Muslims do not agree with them, but unless they claim polytheism, it can only be said that in spite of claiming to be monotheists, they are involved in polytheism. Their case is the case of a Muslim who goes to the grave of a saint to ask him to grant a wish. Such a Muslim cannot be called a polytheist. He shall be told that what he is doing is something which is against monotheism, to which he himself strongly claims adherence. Similarly, Christians cannot be called polytheists. However, they will be told that what they are doing is not in accordance with monotheism. It is precisely for this reason that the Quran never called the people of the book as polytheists, though they subscribe to certain blatant forms of polytheism. The Quran only called the Ishmaelites as polytheists because they admittedly subscribed and testified to the creed of polytheism. They strongly advocated that polytheism was the very religion the Almighty had revealed and claimed that there were strong adherents to this religion. Because of this very reason, they were called the Mushrikun, or the adherents to the creed of Shirk, by the Quran. Realization of the divine practice in the preaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We shall now examine the details of the punishment that the Almighty administered to the disbelievers in the era of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the overall perspective of the various phases of his preaching mission. The propagation phase. In the 40th year of his life, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was summoned by the Almighty to serve him. Mecca at the time was a social and cultural center of Arabia. It was its central city. So, in accordance with the Almighty's established practice of sending a messenger to the central city of a land, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called upon to begin his endeavor in this city. The Quran states, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لِتُنْزِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَى وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا وَتُنْزِرَ يَوْمَ الْجَمْعِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. And thus have we sent by inspiration to you an Arabic Quran, that you may warn the mother of cities and all around her, and warn them of the day of assembly, of which there is no doubt, when some will be in the garden and some in the blazing fire. Surah number 42, verse 7. In Mecca, where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent about 13 years of his preaching endeavor, the addressees were basically the idolaters, who were the descendants of the Prophet's great ancestor, the Prophet Ishmael sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the people of the book were also addressed at various instances. Besides these two distinct pockets of opponents, there were the munafiqun, or the hypocrites, of whom only a few were in Mecca, and who emerged as a sizable faction in Medina as the Islamic message started to gain momentum. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam bore witness to the truth before all these three groups and refuted their evil beliefs. In the terminology of the Quran, this is called shahada. He revived various Abrahamic practices and rituals, cleansing them of various interpolations added by the polytheists, and delineating the basic truth of accountability in the hereafter before God on the basis of a person's deeds. The real debate with the idolaters concerned their polytheistic beliefs and religious innovations. They were repeatedly asked to give up the religion of idolatry since it had no grounds. It was only the Almighty who could have told them that he had associated with him certain other deities. Without the sanction of the Almighty, they had no means to know about such details for themselves. Consequently, when they claimed that polytheism was revealed to them by the Almighty himself, the Quran called this a vicious lie. The Quran states, إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنْفُسُ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمُ الْهُدَى. These are nothing but names which you have devised, you and your fathers, for which God has sent down no authority whatsoever. They follow nothing but conjecture and what their own souls desire, even though there has come to them guidance from their Lord. Surah number 53, verse 23. It is precisely for this reason that their denial of monotheism amounted to a deliberate rejection of the truth, as a result of which they would have to face the punishment of hell in the hereafter. The Quran states, بَلَا قَدْ جَاءَتْكَ آيَاتِي فَكَذَّبْتَ بِهَا وَاسْتَكْبَرْتَ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تَرَى الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ وُجُوهُهُمْ مُسْوَدَّةٌ أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًى لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ Nay, there has come to you my signs, and you rejected them, and showed haughtiness, and as a result became from among the disbelievers. On the day of judgment, you will see that faces of those who told lies against God will turn black. Is not in hell an abode for the haughty? Surah number 39, verses 59 and 60. Similarly, the people of the book were asked to desist from their attitude of hostility and antagonism and to honor the covenant they had made of professing belief in the final messenger, someone whose name was mentioned in their very books. The Quran says, فَأَوْفُ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا أَعْهَدْتُمْ وَلَا تَنْقُذُوا الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْقِيدِهَا وَقَدْ جَعَلْتُمُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ كَفِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ كُفَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا تَتَّخِذُونَ أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ أَنْ تَكُونُوا أُمَّةٌ هِيَ أَرْبَى مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِنَّمَا يَبْلُوكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَلِيُبَيِّنَنَّ لَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ And fulfill the covenant of God when you have entered into it, and break not your oaths after you have confirmed them. Indeed, you have made God your witness, for God knows all what you do. And be not like a woman who breaks into untwisted strands the yarn she has spun after it has become strong. Nor take your oaths to practice deception between yourselves, lest one party should be more numerous than another. For God will test you by this, and on the day of judgment, and he will certainly make clear to you the truth that wherein you disagree. Surah number 16, verses 91 and 92. At another place, the Quran states, قَالَ عَذَابِي أُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَسَأَكْتُبُوهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إسرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون He the Almighty said, With my punishment I visit whom I will, but my mercy extends to all things. That mercy I shall ordain for those who do right and practice regular charity, and those who believe in our signs, those who follow the messenger, the unlettered prophet, whom they find mentioned in their own scriptures, in the Torah and in the Injil, for he commands them what is just and forbids them what is evil. He allows them as lawful what is good and pure, and prohibits them from what is bad and impure. He releases them from their heavy burdens and from the yokes that were upon them. So those who believe in him, honor him, help him, and follow the light which is sent down with him, it is they who shall prosper. Surah number 7, verses 156 and 157. Like the idolaters also, their real crime, according to the Quran, was deliberate denial. أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبْتَغِي حَكَمًا وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكِتَابَ مُفَصَّلًا والذين آتيناهم الكتاب يعلمون أنه منزل من ربك بالحق فلا تكونن من الممترين Should I seek a judge other than God when it is He who has revealed the book for you with all its precepts? Those to whom we gave the book know that the Quran has been revealed by your Lord with truth. Therefore have no doubts. Surah number 6, verse 114. At another place the Quran states, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَعْرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ So when there came to them that which they recognized, they believed in it. So let the curse of God be on the disbelievers. Surah number 2, verse 89. At still another place, the words are, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يُرَدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ Many of the people of the book wish that if they could turn you away as disbelievers after you have believed out of envy from their own selves, even after the truth has become manifest to them. And finally, at another place the Quran says, كَيْفَ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ وَشَهِدُوا أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ حَقٌّ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. How shall God guide a people who disbelieved after their belief and after they bore witness that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true and after clear proofs had come unto them? And God guides not the people who are wrongdoers. Surah number 3, verse 86. Initially, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could muster very little support from his tribe in favor of his message. Most people of Mecca rejected his call, and only a few youth of the city accepted it. The hostility shown by the chiefs of Mecca was so severe that most people reckoned that it would only be a matter of days before this newly founded faith would reach a disastrous end. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were put to severe physical torture and mental affliction. Such was the extent of the persecution suffered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that for many years he had to confine his endeavor to his near relatives. However, after many years of persistent struggle, when it became evident that the people of Mecca were denying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam due to sheer obstinacy, the Almighty asked him to dissociate himself from these people.